Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our pastoral resident, Scotty Miser. Scripture reading for tonight is from Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. 'They will respect my son,' he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance.' So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word and for the work that it does and is doing in our lives. Any words that I have today, Lord, may they be forgotten immediately if they do not bring us closer to one another and closer to you, what you have for us and for our lives. Thank you for who you are and all that you do. Amen. The parable of the tenants, it's a tricky one, and it definitely intimidated me a good bit. It's notable for the fact that it has this really strong one-to-one kind of allegorical correlation. And what I mean by that is that Jesus is saying it in a very specific conversation that we've already been placed in the middle of, right? He's talking to the chief priests and the scribes, and he's trying to give them a very specific message, which we'll unpack and we'll kind of decode what all the players here are that Jesus is talking about. But the temptation is to just decode it, right? To figure out who the tenants are, who the servants are, who the landowner is. And this is a good practice, and it elucidates these key players. But at its worst, what reading a passage like this can do is it can keep us from applying it to our own lives. So what I'm going to attempt to do today is I'm going to try and decode this and go through the scriptures and figure out who's who in this parable, what that means. But hopefully along the way, we can apply this really specific and powerful metaphor to our own lives. But if you get nothing else from today, from this parable, receive this. What you have has been given, and it's meant to be shared. What you have has been given, and it's meant to be shared. So to break down the players, first of all, we need to look at God as the landowner and the vineyard as Israel. Now this isn't an immediately obvious metaphor to us, but what Jesus is actually doing here is he is nearly word for word quoting a similar passage in Isaiah 5, that actually describes a landowner owner in a vineyard. There we go. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Isaiah 5:1-2, my loved one had a vineyard in a fertile hillside. He built a watchtower in it. He cut out a wine press as well. People were used to this imagery of God choosing and cultivating the nation of Israel for himself. This would have been a metaphor that was already immediate and sort of working in their brains. They would have understood what Jesus was laying down here. And they would have understood if they had read the rest of Isaiah, is that the purpose of God choosing the nation of Israel was not simply so that they could be chosen. It was not simply so that they could just be this frozen chosen and hold on to what they have and never share it with anyone. The purpose of God choosing Israel was that they could be a light to the nations. We have this passage in Isaiah 49 that elucidates that further. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will make you a light to the nations, so that all the world may be saved. It's a humbling thing, because I think so often when we find ourselves in this Christian life and we find ourselves in the church and we feel that we've found safety and security in Christ, the temptation is to hang on to it for dear life and not risk it for anything. But the purpose of being chosen is not and has never been just to be chosen. What you have has been given, and it's meant to be shared. So like the landowner's vineyard, Israel has been set apart by God's goodness, not by their own goodness, not by their own merit. So what does that mean for us? How can we actually apply that to us as Christians, as people living in Christ, as the chosen people of God? What this actually makes me think of in upholding the tradition of me referencing children's programming as often as I can in these sermons, I think of Mr. Rogers at the Emmys. Does anyone know about this particular speech about Fred Rogers? Okay, that's fine. What? When Fred Rogers received his Lifetime Achievement Award at the Emmys, he did a very interesting and peculiar thing. And you can look this up on YouTube for yourselves. He did not merely celebrate his own accomplishments. And he didn't even actually do the thing that most people do when they receive these awards, is they just thank everyone that they can think of. What Mr. Rogers did in this moment was turn it back on the audience. And I have a quote from the speech here. He says, "So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here, some are far away, some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you take along with me 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are?" And it's fascinating to watch. He says, "I'll watch the time." And he stands there in silence for 10 seconds as a room filled with celebrities begins to silently cry. I think often the reason we want to hold tightly to what we have is that we're under the delusion that we've earned it. But I want us to take part in this exercise tonight. Let's actually do this. Let's reflect. Just for 10 seconds of silence, spiritually or otherwise, who's brought you here? hold on to the image of that person for a second. We're going to come back to this. But what you have has been given, and it's meant to be shared. So getting back into the parable, we also have this idea of the servants coming to collect what belongs to the landowner, right? And the servants, it's largely considered, are meant to represent the prophets. They're meant to represent those who historically have come to Israel to remind them of the purpose of their chosenness, to remind them and correct them when they have failed to be a light to the nations, to remind the people of Israel that what they have has been given. I think in my head, the category that I put the prophets in is rather esteemed, and it's rather well respected. But historically, that hasn't really been the case to the people who actually knew the prophets and were actually hanging around with them. I found the scraggliest pictures of these guys that I could. But over to the left, we have Isaiah, who, fun fact about our buddy Isaiah, preached naked for a year in order to prophesy a coming exile and to alert the people to this coming misfortune. Over to our right, that scraggly dude is named Ezekiel, who at the calling of the Lord ate food baked over cow dung to similarly prophesy coming hardship. And in the center we have John the Baptist, dressed in camel hair and ate locusts and wild honey for reasons I actually don't know. I think that might have actually just been his thing, but if I'm wrong, correct me afterwards. There may be a deeper meaning there. Just a sort of side thought here, if you ever think that you are too strange, too unattractive, too much of a misfit to serve as a messenger of the Lord, just remember these dudes. Remember that these were the mouthpiece of the Almighty. And they weren't just unpopular because they dressed funny and ate funny. They, like the servants in this parable, they often met untimely deaths, killed by those in power, merely for reminding the people of Israel that what they had has been given. Do you remember who you were thinking about during that 10 seconds of silence? Do you remember the person you were thinking about? When I kind of took the opportunity to live this out for myself and to actually try this exercise for myself, more often than not, I would think of Mr. Dalton, my high school science teacher. And I want to tell you about this guy. I want to tell you just a little bit about what this guy did for high school Scotty. So, Mr. D was a self-described nerd. He had majored in mathematics at Cornell. He loved science fiction. He read books on geometry for fun. And yes, all the time. And he had served as a missionary in Africa for over a quarter of a century before coming to my 200 student kindergarten to 12th grade school. So as you can imagine, I didn't get along with this guy at all. This man loved science fiction, loved the Bible, loved talking to people. But I also want to explain part of who I was in that season of my life. In high school, I was a kid who had grown up in the church. I was generally considered a well-behaved kid, and I was bright enough that when it came to Bible knowledge, I usually had the answers. But Mr. D didn't just get along with me. He didn't just geek out with me about Star Trek and Star Wars, etc. Mr. Dalton challenged me. This guy would not allow me to simply squat on what I had been given. He would say things to me that, to this day, I still remember as he would pass out the tests, and he thought I was too happy with my grade of a B. He would say things to me like, "You're smart enough that you can get good grades without studying, but you should be doing better." No one else was speaking into my life quite like that. And outside of his role as a teacher, he would engage in my questions outside of class time about science and the Bible and how the two might interact. And these weren't issues that every 12th grader was struggling super hard with at that point, but for me, it meant the world. I don't talk to this guy much anymore, but I think of him often. And I find myself talking about him often. He's still working there, by the way. Because he gave me frameworks of scripture and of thought that I needed desperately at the time, and that I still use today. Just by being who he was, and being who he was generously. So as we reflect on the prophets, and as we reflect on my high school science teacher, I want us to take another minute to reflect. Knowing who has poured into us can help educate who we might be able to pour into. So let's take a minute and reflect. Who are you uniquely equipped to serve? Who can you uniquely help? What you have has been given. It's meant to be shared. And of course, we have to dip back into the parable and examine what Jesus has to say about the landowner's son. It's through the character in the parable of the son that Jesus predicts his own betrayal and his own execution. In the same way that the landowner's son was thrown out of the vineyard, Christ will be thrown out of the holy city, executed outside the walls of Jerusalem, and killed by those meant to protect it, killed by those who were meant to be a light to the nations. So even if we didn't have this parable, right? Even if we didn't have this rich history feeding into it, in the cross, we're given a template. Unlike the tenants who felt that what they'd been given was theirs to keep, Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He knew who he was, and he knew that what he had was meant to be shared. So believe it or not, there is actually good news in this parable. There is actually a bright side to all this. The good news is that if we're living in Christ, the debt is paid. And the good news is that we're invited to share in the harvest. If you look over that parable again, the landowner, he doesn't come to initially kick the tenants out. He's happy to let the workers enjoy the goodness of the vineyard. And if you're here, if you're living with Christ, then you too have been invited to share in that harvest. The fruit is good. It is the love of God. And all we are asked to do in this faithful work is to remember that what we have has been given, and it's meant to be shared.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.